Hey, what's up, everyone? It is Monday. It's around 5:52 p.m. And let me tell you, I had the most stressful weekend in a while. I mean, it's 2020, so I know it's been a difficult time for a lot of us. But this weekend was pretty stressful for me. I know for everyone, you know, including myself, 2020 has been the craziest year, the most difficult one. And I mean, we're lucky that we're still here. There's a lot of people that honestly didn't really make it, but you know, we're here. For me, it started with my son being admitted to the hospital at the beginning of the year, you know, continued to have relationship issues, then COVID hits, working from home. And just recently, my son got sick again. But, you know, here we are, still strong, still hoping for the best. And I just wanted to take some time and just go over all the lessons that I've learned this year, all the things that I've discovered that have helped me, honestly. And that's in addition, oh, actually not in addition, but in spite of journaling, of prayer. You know, praying has been extremely beneficial. Journaling has been beneficial. Working out, obviously, that's beneficial. Although it's been difficult with COVID, to be honest. But again, it's always not giving up. That's what works, right? Anyway, I wanted to go over some of the lessons that I've learned this year and just kind of go in, you know, a little deeper on each one. Hopefully I don't take too long, but I just wanted to just go over them. Not so much just to go over them, but just to kind of remind myself, because that's one of the things that I've noticed this September was that even though I've had these amazing lessons throughout the year, if you don't consistently think about them, I mean, like the Bible says that if you don't meditate on the word every day, eventually it'll fade, right? It's not like you read one Bible verse and it's over. And it's not like you have this aha moment, this eureka moment with a phrase or something and then that's it, it's gone. Like you have to meditate on it. You have to realize, not reminiscence, I forget the words. And again, this is because I haven't really done any of these recordings, so I tend to forget the words. But you have to meditate and go over what you've learned so that you can keep it fresh in your mind, so that these life lessons don't just go in one ear, out the other kind of thing. All right, so the things that I've learned, one was memento mori. The other one was amor fati. And I'll go in detail with these ones. The other one was you control how you play. Also recently was eating healthy is extremely important. And the next one would be do not rely in your own strength and your own wisdom. And finally is just above all, just worship God. So what do I mean by memento mori? Well, I've learned that one of life's truths is that we're all gonna die at some point. And honestly, it will seem as if none of it matter, you know? You'll be gone, the people who loved you will die too, life will go on, and we'll all be forgotten, just like that. Your life will become nothing, meaningless. And you're worrying about what again? This is a truth that helped me calm down during difficult times. This is a truth that if you're a non-believer, if you don't believe in God, this can be a hard truth to swallow, honestly. Actually, this truth can even make someone who's depressed even more depressed, because it's a very nihilistic truth, you know, if you think about it. Like, nothing matters. Like, we're all gonna die. So if you're depressed and you think this, you're gonna be like, well, shit, it's true, then what's the point? What's the point of it all? But for someone who's not depressed and actually is going through a lot of shit, this can be liberating. When you're weighed down by, you know, by problems, when you're expecting too much of yourself and you feel like you're letting yourself down and everybody around you, you're letting them down, memento mori can be liberating. If you were like me, you probably felt like your life was falling apart and you felt that you couldn't keep all the juggling balls in the air and you were dropping some of them, this can be liberating. It's like, it's okay if things don't come out the way you expected them to come out. I'm not saying give up. I'm not saying like stop fighting for your goals. But if you're doing the best you can and things don't come out like the way you planned, memento mori, it doesn't really matter. You know, we're all gonna die. This will all be forgotten eventually. So, like, instead of obsessing on the outcome, why don't you just fall in love with the process? Why don't you just enjoy your life as it is? You know, if you're going through a problem, you can still take some time to look at, you know, the glass half full instead of half empty. I mean, in the end, it's your life, nobody else's. If you don't learn to enjoy your life the way it is, then nobody is gonna enjoy it for you. And if that's the case, honestly, it's a waste of life, isn't it? It's a waste of experience. Like, God is giving you this chance to experience life right now. You are alive, right? You are breathing. You are living through 2020. Like, this shit can be a movie and you're living it. Why not enjoy it? Why not enjoy life with all its beauty, all its joy, all its pain? I mean, are you really gonna opt into obsess for what is not happening instead of what is happening? You know, memento mori. You're alive, but one day you won't be. Like, do you need money? Memento mori, we all do. Do you feel sad? Memento mori, we all feel sad. Are you feeling pain? Well, that's a sign that we're alive. And eventually, we're all gonna be, you know, we're all gonna die. So enjoy life, like don't be too harsh on yourself. The next one is amor fati. And this is a Latin phrase, which, I mean, in a way it comes in handy with memento mori, right? It comes in handy. I mean, not handy, it comes in hand with memento mori, because it means love your fate. It means love your life regardless of it. It doesn't matter if your life is coming up exactly as you planned it, or if your life is just full of unexpected and unpleasant events. Your fate is your life, and your life is like a fire. And whatever you throw into that fire becomes fuel for the fire. So what that means is that no matter what life throws at you, you can either use it as fuel for your fire. I mean, whatever life throws at you, you can view it as something positive, like a positive experience where you can learn from it and become stronger, or you can think of yourself as the victim. In the end, it's all about perspective. When Viktor Frankl, I'm gonna butcher his name, Viktor Frankl, there you go. When he was taken as a prisoner by the Nazis, he was placed in a concentration camp. The Nazis took everything from him. They took his family, his belongings, his savings. They took even the clothes that he was wearing, like they left him naked, like literally butt naked. They took his name, his titles. I believe he was like a prestigious psychiatrist or psychologist. And they even took that away from him. They would ask him, you know, what's your name? And he said, Viktor Frankl. And they're like, nope, now you're not. Now you're this number, whatever number they would give him. They would just call them by their number. Like, they took everything from them. But what Viktor knew and said, well, actually, he said, everything can be taken from a man, but one thing. The last of human freedoms, which is to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances. To choose one's way, you know, like your own way. And that's pretty much what amor fati is. I mean, you can choose to view your circumstances in a negative light and see yourself as the victim, or you can view them as circumstances that are going to be fuel for your fire and that are going to change your attitude towards the situation instead of the circumstance taking over yourself. The next one, the next idea is you control how you play. And this is pretty straightforward. In the end, you control how you play. You don't control the weather, you control how you play. You don't control your boss, you control how you play. You don't control other people's actions or reactions. You can only control how you play. And as long as you play as your best, you can keep an internal score. So not the score of life, but the internal score. So let's say if you're playing a sport and you give it your best, but yet you don't score in the game, in the internal score, you did score because you know you gave it your best. But then, like in the other hand, if you're not giving it your best, but you still score, then that would mean that, I mean, you scored in the game, but internally, you didn't really score because you know that you could have done better. So this idea is pretty much to remind yourself that what matters is that you give it your best and that you don't make excuses that, oh, it's too cold outside, or, you know, your boss is an asshole, or, you know, nobody's giving you a chance. No, you control how you play, period. In this idea, what matters is your internal score. When you journal, well, if you journal like me, this, you know, if you go over this idea, you can remind yourself how to control how you play for the day, but you can also make inventory of how you've really played the game of life recently. The next idea is eating is extremely important. Now, this lesson came about a time of extreme procrastination from me. Earlier this September, I was going through a slump. I had just come back from Mexico, and I wasn't really quite pushing myself as I should. I was doing the bare minimum just to get by. I was not pushing myself to be the best. I was not working on my long-term goals. And honestly, I was just not focusing correctly. I was focusing on the short-term pleasures of life instead of living a meaningful life. It was while I was like attempting to get out of this slump when I realized that I should be prioritizing on something, like a task that would give me a quick ROI, a quick return of investment. So if I was going through a slump, if I was not being motivated to continue pushing myself as I was, then maybe what I needed to focus was on eating healthy. And honestly, this was just like an eye-opener. If you just don't have the energy, if you feel sluggish, if you feel foggy, tired, you're not really getting sick, but you just feel like dragging, then your issue may lie in your diet. I mean, honestly, I wasn't eating the right diet at all. As soon as I prioritized my diet, I noticed the change right away. And I'm not here preaching about a specific diet or eat this, not that, etc. But just go big on vegetables, fruits, drink more water. Honestly, like, keep it simple. Because even if you have a Lamborghini of a specimen, like if your body is like amazing, but you put in cheap gas into that Lamborghini, eventually you're not going to go very far. And you're going to need to have your engine cleaned eventually. The next one is do not rely on your own strength and wisdom. This one took me a few months, through the year to realize about this. Although this year I've been doing well, I've kept depression out of my life. I'm living a much better life and I'm making progress at work, as a parent, as a son, having better relationship with my parents, socially, actually going out of my way to meet new people. I still continue to make mistakes in the area of drinking, for example. That's something that I'm really trying to work on. I don't drink as much as I was doing last year. And if I do drink now, the craving does not come from a dark place to fill a void at the pit of my stomach, or I don't drink to fast forward time and just get over with the day so that we can start fresh tomorrow. If and when I do drink now, it comes more from a sense of like, okay, I feel like I work hard enough. I deserve a beer to wind down. Why not? And although I've been drinking responsibly, there are times where I feel like I fucked up. You know, sometimes I'll drink probably like one too many drinks and I'll wake up like in the middle of the night feeling guilty. Sometimes I'll drink a little too early around the, you know, in the day, and I'll just feel lazy and procrastinate for the rest of the day. Again, making me feel guilty, making me feel like shit. And I can't really help it. Well, through journaling, through prayer, is when God showed me that the reason I'm doing this is just, I mean, again, this is just one example of what I'm giving, but there are others, is that I was doing this. I was trying to drink less or not drink at all, relying in my own strength. And I cannot rely in my own strength and wisdom. I believe, and don't quote me on this, but I believe in the Bible, when King David wanted to go and attack like their opponents on, during battle or whatever, he would counsel God. He knew that he was like a great warrior. He knew that if he would go and fight, he would win. But he knew that it was just not about winning. You know, he would need to counsel with God and ask him if he would go out and fight, would God be with him? And this kind of tells me that even though he was a great warrior, he didn't rely on his strength. He relied in a higher power. And I mean, there are times in our life where, in my life, like I think I'm making like the right move and I'm actually doing what I think is right in the moment. But then I come to find out that actually I shouldn't have done that. Or at least I shouldn't have done that yet. Maybe what I was trying to do was the right thing, but not at the right time. I do these things because I'm relying on my own wisdom. I've learned to rely on God. So every morning when I wake up and I pray, when I journal, I ask God to show me the way. You know, I ask God to teach me how to listen to his voice. Sometimes God will tell you what to do, but his voice is subtle. And it takes practice to know when to know that it's God telling you to do something, or when it's just your ego wanting to do something, if that makes sense. The last one, honestly, and this is one that I've learned now that, you know, my son was in the hospital, is just to worship God, pretty much, plain and simple. Understanding that we don't know everything, then that we can't control everything. That's, I mean, it's good to understand that. But when you understand and you accept that your fate is in God's hands and you worship him, things get way better. You know, worshiping God cannot be understood really by someone who's a non-believer. But when you do connect with God, you know, with that higher power, when you worship him, when you spend time with him, when you become present, you know, in that presence of God, not only are you connecting yourself to that higher power, you know, to that source of it all, but you're also making yourself vulnerable to God's will. You allow like the Holy Spirit to move in your favor. God said, I believe it's in Philippians, to like somewhere in the Bible, I don't know, Philippians, I think it's in Philippians, that God is the one that puts in you like the desire, the will, and the acting, like the will to act in order to fulfill his purpose. So what this means is that your desires, God put them in there for you. Like, you have desires that God put in there. They're God's desires. If you really want your family to be better off, he put that desire in you. I mean, if you want your children to do better in life, God put that desire in you. Whatever you really want, God put that desire in you. I mean, again, there's a big asterisk here. Like, you don't want, you know, like, for example, if you desire your neighbor's wife, that's not God's desire, but that's lust. So make sure that you can tell the difference of between what God wants and godly desires and just your flesh wanting things, you know, quick fixes, you know. I mean, God did not put in the desire for you to make money so that you can spend it on drugs and women or men, you know. That's not God's will. But if your desire is for your family to be better, or for that one family member that has cancer to get healed, or for you to get good grades so that you can get that bachelor's degree that you want, then that's a godly desire. He put that in you. And the beautiful thing is that when you worship God, when you stop asking Him and asking Him, you know, what you want Him to do, He'll start acting. And He'll start moving things around and putting people in the right place without you even knowing. And He will do whatever He needs to do in order for your desires to be fulfilled. Now, you'll probably say, I mean, CG, I asked them for this specific thing and that didn't happen. I mean, just give it time. Sometimes when we ask, like I said, we think it's God's will. It's a godly desire. But sometimes it's really not. So just wait. If you really just fall into His presence and worship Him, He'll move mountains for you, and you'll know when He's working on your behalf. You'll know when you'll see His answer. Anyway, that's pretty much it. I hope that you guys enjoyed this. I know that I don't really post, and it's because, honestly, I'm lazy. I know that there's a lot of ums and so's and whatever is on this recording, but I just wanted to get this off my chest and just share this with you guys. I hope you guys like it, and don't forget to like and subscribe, and I'll talk to you guys later.